E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rót anseo. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. The sage in the digital age spoke, saying. And the philosopher would ask himself from time to time, why the Druids and the Christians raged so much, roaring away like a wild sea, were tossing their minds to and fro, were imagining vain things of him. Why so much dislike for his ways of thinking? Why so much folly? This was no temporary rage, but rather a deep-seated dislike, for they set themselves resolutely to stand in opposition to him a self-originating thinker. They sat themselves in each other's lights and shadows. They would take counsel together against him. How, he thought, could he deed himself wisely in the presence of such people with such limiting ways of thinking? Day nightly, he had to keep his wits about him. Why did they wish to break his way of thinking, he thought to himself, and to have it be replaced by their own? He viewed them as being their own Druids, their own Christians, who would not stop until all and every possible constraints on his ways of thinking would be put in place. In his thoughts he would say, what? And ask, O you Druids and Christians, do you think yourselves wise? You are far from being wise. You are merely rebels upon thrones. There are rightful monarchs throughout the land, but by far the greater are their usurpers. They lay claim to hold sway over the night and the day, over the babe in the womb, the youth on the hills, and the old ones of the valleys. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, The Republic, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet.
Oh, the recorders, let me see one, to withdraw with you. Why do you go about to recover the wind of me, as if you would drive me into a toil? Oh, my lord, if my duty be too bold, my love is too unmannerly. I do not well understand that. Will you play upon this pipe? My lord, I cannot. I pray you. Believe me, I cannot. I do beseech you. I know no touch of it, my lord. 'Tis as easy as lying. Govern these vintages with your lingers and thumb. Give it breath with your mouth, and it will discourse most eloquent music. Look you, these are the stops. But these cannot I command to any utterance of harmony. I have not the skill. Why, look you now, how unworthy a thing you make of me. You would play upon me, you would seem to know my stops, you would pluck out the heart of my mystery, you would sound me from my lowest note to the top of my compass, and there is much music, excellent voice in this little organ, yet cannot you make it speak? Sublud, do you think I am easier to be played on than a pipe? Call me what instrument you will, though you can fret me, yet you cannot play upon me.
God bless you, sir.
My lord, the queen would speak with you, and presently.
Do you see yonder cloud, that's almost in shape of a camel?
By Damas, and 'tis like a camel indeed.
Methinks it is like a weasel.
It is backed like a weasel,
or like a whale.
Very like a whale.
Then I will come to my mother by and by.
They fool me to the top of my bent. I will come by and by. I will say so.
By and by is easily said. Leave me, friends.
'Tis now the very witching time of night, when churchyards yawn and hell itself breathes out contagion to this world. Now could I drink hot blood and do such bitter business as the day would quake to look on. Soft now to my mother. O heart, lose not thy nature. Let not ever the soul of Nero enter this fair bosom. Let me be cruel, not unnatural. I will speak daggers to her, but use none. My tongue and soul and this be hypocrites. How in my words soever she be bent, to give them seals never my soul consent.
A reading from Plato's The Republic.
Well, he said, have you never heard that forms of government differ? There are tyrannies and there are democracies and there are aristocracies.
Yes, I know.
And the government is the ruling power in each state?
Certainly.
And the different forms of government make laws democratical, aristocratical, tyrannical, with a view to their several interests. And these laws, which are made by them for their own interests, are the justice which they deliver to their subjects, and him who transgresses them they punish as a breaker of the law and unjust. And that is what I mean when I say that in all states there is the same principle of justice, which is the interest of the government. And as the government must be supposed to have power, the only reasonable conclusion is that everywhere there is one principle of justice, which is the interest of the stronger.
Now I understand you, I said, and whether you are right or not, I will try to discover. But let me remark that in defining justice, you have yourself used the word interest, which you forbade me to use. It is true, however, that in your definition the words of the stronger are added.
A small addition, you must allow, he said. Great or small, never mind about that. We must first inquire whether what you are saying is the truth. Now we are both agreed that justice is interest of some sort. Would you go on to say, of the stronger? About this addition I am not so sure, and must therefore consider further.
Proceed.
I will. And first tell me, do you admit that it is just for subjects to obey their rulers?
I do.
But are the rulers of states absolutely infallible, or are they sometimes liable to err?
To be sure, he replied, they are liable to err.
Then in making their laws they may sometimes make them rightly and sometimes not.
True.
When they make them rightly, they make them agreeably to their interest. When they are mistaken, contrary to their interest, you admit that?
Yes.
And the laws which they make must be obeyed by their subjects, and that is what you call justice.
Doubtless.
Then justice, according to your argument, is not only obedience to the interest of the stronger, but the reverse.
What is it that you are saying? He asked.
I am only repeating what you are saying, I believe. But let us consider. Have we not admitted that the rulers may be mistaken about their own interests in what they command, and also that to obey them is justice?
Has not that been admitted?
Yes. Then you must also have acknowledged justice not to be for the interests of the stronger when the rulers unintentionally command things to be done which are to their own injury. For if, as you say, justice is the obedience which the subject renders to their commands, in that case, O wisest of men, is there any escape from the conclusion that the weaker are commanded to do not what is for the interest, or what is for the injury of the stronger?
Nothing can be clearer, Socrates, said Polymarchus.
This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance.
nor three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, Humaculata Vera, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?
In the days of long ago, when harps and harpers were in the plenty throughout the island, there was one such harper sauntering along on horseback while strumming away and singing a wondrous refrain. And now, with looking up ahead, he beheld a beautiful white swan slowly gliding in along towards them before she coming into a light on the pathway out in front of them. The horse, with perceiving this too, had already come to a gentle halt. The swan looked up at the horse and then the harper, as if she wanted them to come follow her. And so the swan went strolling on along out front, with the horse and his musical mount sauntering on along behind. And the harper, being quite enamoured of this lovely situation and the great beauty of the about scenery, played a melody on the harp, and to it put some lyrics, which well encapsulated all these things. Now, after some time, they came to the outskirts of a village. At that, the swan began to run a little, and with stretching out her wings, she rose up above the shrubs and the trees and village as she glided away gracefully off into the distance. There, sitting at the entrance to the village, was a middle-aged kite-maker, who was humming away to himself as he was putting the final touches to a lovely yellow kite. The harper dismounted and went over and greeted him, and the kite-maker, being well pleased to see a new face, invited him to sit with him, to have a bit of a chat, for he was of the mood then to have a fine conversation with anyone who might happen to come on by, especially if that someone had come from faraway places. In the course of their engaging conversation on a host of things, and the harper having played and sung some songs, the kite-maker told the following story. He told of how a king and queen from a different landry, who were passing through that way of a day, stopped when they saw the kite-maker's display of fascinating kites. Without dismounting from their carriage, they commented to him on their beauty, and said that although they didn't need a kite, they would be most glad to make a substantial donation of gold to help the artisan support himself and his family. But the kite maker, with well concealing his feelings, respectfully declined their offer, and said that he instead would be very happy to sell them any one kite of their choice and at a reduced price. But the king and the queen didn't accept his offer, nor did they give him any donation, but without further word, carried on upon their way. And the harper, with hearing this, asked him, Why didn't you accept the generous donation? After all, it could have been a tremendous help to you in supporting yourself and your family. I know that, but I experienced at their offer some deep-down pride welling up within me, a lovingly handed down ancestral pride about being a maker of beautiful kites and writing some beautiful words of the ancients on them. For their majesties not to have first offered to buy one of them from me, but instead to toss a donation at me as one might scraps to a dog, greatly hurt my pride. As such, I politely refused to accept their donation. And the harper jokingly replied, saying, But you could have been made very rich by it, live almost in a palace, and wouldn't have to be making all that meticulous effort any more that goes into making kites. You could even, if you wanted, hire someone for you to make them. And the kite-maker replied in a similar tone, It would be easier, surely, I imagine, for a harper to give up playing and singing to his harp while sauntering about on horseback in the wide and lovely than for me to give up kite-making. And they both laughed heartily, and agreed that whatever the circumstances, pride, dignity, integrity, and the pleasure of little joys, at freely creating something beautiful, something precious, for the now of the ages, be it a scripted kite, a melody, or a song,
are invaluable treasures of life. And the words and thoughts took them to seeing that these things to those two who are in the know will be considerate so, and will not be given over to hurting the pride of the artist by not purchasing a single one of his or her works, but instead tossing to them a donation, however great or small it be. And the kite maker continued with his love to do, the harper and the horse theirs. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will cause your lamp to be lighted and to shine, you will illume the darknesses you meet along the way. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought, too, for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland. On the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.